Hello, everybody. Okay, I hope you received what I sent out. And I put together three different mitzvahs, mitzvah 69, 70, and 71. And the Sefer HaChinuch does something here he has not done yet. And if you see on the fourth page, there is a hint of it, where he puts the name of the mitzvah. He puts the name of the mitzvah in parentheses. You see it? Now, all three of these mitzvahs come from one short pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Three mitzvahs. Listen to the word. Listen to the words. Ready? Lo tikalel Elohim. V'nosi ba'amcha lo ta'or. Kalel Elohim, v'nosi ba'amcha lo ta'or. What an economy of mitzvahs. Seven words, three mitzvahs. Can someone find three mitzvahs here? That's why I said he's doing something he hasn't done before. Okay, well, look at the name of mitzvah 69. Everybody see what I sent? Page 1. It says, Lo tekalel Elohim v'nosi ba'amcha lo ta'or. What do those first three words teach? Lo tekalel Elohim.
Not to curse the dayan, not to curse the judge.
Right, so that's what it says. The mitzvah says, Shelo lekalel hadayan.
Right.
Don't curse the judge, which is what a lot of Americans are doing today. Don't intimidate the judge. Don't make the judge feel that he has to be apprehensive of pronouncing the verdict he knows is the correct one. Okay? Because he has his own mitzvah. Right? Can you articulate that mitzvah?
Yes. He has to judge the correctly. He has to judge according to the din.
Yeah. It says, Lo toguru mitnei ish.
Not to fear.
May not be afraid of any person, which makes the sifrei say that once the judge has taken the case, if someone comes to him and says, if you pronounce me guilty, I will kill you. So the Sefrei says he may not pronounce him innocent. Now, some understand that to mean that he may recuse himself and say, I can't do this. I need a vacation. I can't see this through. But he, Yareg Val Yavor, he has to die rather than pronounce this man innocent. Where does it say that? I thought there are only three things you should give up your life for. Right? So, no, the thing that teaches that he has to die is Lo Toguru Mipnaish. Right? Don't hold back your verdict because of any man. Don't give any verdict at all, but don't give the false verdict. So if the judge is to be worried that people are going to curse him because of his court case, then that's going to be the first step in the breakdown of judicial society. Okay. I think you I kept saying Lo tekalel Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. If it meant don't bless God. Right? And I would have said Elohim, right?
Right.
I would have kept saying Lo tekalel Elohim. Right? Look at mitzvah ayin. Do you see it on the fourth page? Did you get it? Mitzvah number ayin. It says lav. Now here it doesn't say lekalel because it's God, so it uses a euphemism. Lav de birkas Hashem. This is one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. Right? So I ask you, how can you simultaneously derive not to curse the Dayan and not to bless God from the same three words? Is that how it works?
It can't be. How could it be both? Because you'd have a different din. One be holy and the other wouldn't. How could the same word?
Yeah, the question is, can it mean both simultaneously? Does the Torah do that? So I ask you to turn to a different section of the Torah. Listen to this. It says that if a person commits a capital crime, it says, Vihumas, Vitolis Oso Al Eitz. Right? What we do is, for someone who worships the Avodah Zarah, we hang the body on a tree. Let me assure you that it's almost impossible to fulfill the death penalty in Israel. All you have to do to get off the death penalty, even after 2 witnesses warn you, is just to say, oh, I'm sorry. Right? You can only be put to death if they say, do you know that you're committing a capital crime? Yeah, I know. Do you know that there's a death penalty for that? Yeah, I know. You have to tell them what the death penalty is. If you get it wrong, then he's not put to death. And he has to say, I know I'm supposed to get the death penalty, and that's why I'm doing it. Okay? Then he's going to get the death penalty. Right? But after being warned, he walks it back and says, oh, no, I didn't mean that. Right? Okay, but let's get back to our point. It says, you hang him up on a tree, and then it says, take him down immediately. Lo talin niv lo soalates. What's the reason the Torah gives, remember? I'm going to paraphrase it in Hebrew. Get ready for this. Ki kilalas Elohim talui. Now, like in our pasuk, what can that mean? Take down his body from that tree, ki kilalas. Now I can say Elokim talui, because who's hanging up there? Someone who's in God's image. All right, don't let him hang there too long. Take him down. Why? Ki kilalas Elokim talui. Right? Now, Rashi says a different shot. He says that people will say, hey, why is he hanging? Why did they hang that man? And what are they going to have to say? They're going to have to describe what Avera he did. He didn't listen to God. Okay? So you'd rather not have a discussion about that. So just take him down quickly and bury him. No one will ask that question.
Does it matter? Is that for any death penalty? Like, there's no Vazar or any
doctor? That particular thing about death hanging on a tree is only for the Vazar. That's correct. No.
That's really strange.
But here is the point I want to make, is that some of Farshim understand that ki kilalas Elohim talui. If you hang a person on a tree and people say, what did he do? They'll talk about the judge. Oh, did you hear that judge really had it out for him? Oh my goodness, he did, right? So first of all, it's not ever one judge who puts someone to death. It's 23.
Right.
But kilas elokim means that it's the court. You know, throughout Shas, I imagine the revulsion that Shas would have at the way these nine or maybe six of them are being treated right now. Right? The revulsion.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
No, it's not about the case. It's that imkein makoach based in Yafe. The rabbis, especially the Nasi, like Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, were very, very zealous about the reputation of the court.
What the court is undermining its own reputation?
Well, that's
respect is earned. It's not.
that might be a matter of opinion, depending on who's.
But three people, well, actually, at least five, lied about what the position was regarding Sway. They did not finally decide in the Mississippi case. They suddenly decided they're against Roe against Wade. Before that, their minds were open.
Okay. We're all equal opportunity offenders on that. I hear that during every confirmation.
But it isn't so blatant. This was a year and a half after the confirmation and saying that,
I'd rather not devolve into this area right now, but the Gemaras are very often very sensitive to what I just said before in Kein Makoch Beis Din Yafeh, that there's more than just the case at hand, there's the reputation of the court. And maybe you're right. So maybe a disrespect of the court becomes earned. We can debate that in regardless of your politics. But when people who mischaracterize their positions in their confirmation hearing, but it's only recognized to be a lie when it's in one area, is maybe I don't know. Okay. Anyway. That is where you have in another place in the Torah where the word Elohim or Elohim is very debatable. What's the thing that's being cursed when a person gets killed by the courts? So if it's the judge, so people might curse the judge, the family members might curse the judge. He killed my brother, he killed me, he put my father to death, right? But if it's Hashem, then it's Kikilas Elohim Talui, is that someone created in God's image is hanging there. You ever hear the parable that Rashi brings of two twin brothers in a country? One becomes king and one becomes a brigand and a robber. And he is found guilty of the death penalty, right? So the king's identical twin brother is taken to the gallows and they hang him. Right? So Rashi cites the Medrash that says, quickly take him down, because if people see him hanging from the gallows, what are they going to think?
It's the king.
It's the king. Right? So every human being is in God's image. So we don't want God's image hanging from a tree for too long.
So would we say, like, Eichmann and is Selma Kim?
So that is that we have to say yes, but he allowed his tzelem to be like every one of us has not to be so ghoulish, but every one of us has the potential la peta chatas rovates.
Yes, but
sin crouds.
Yeah, absolutely correct. But everyone, yeah, you're correct.
But we can remove ourselves from that. Let's say in a practical sense, in Sefer Yehoshua, when it says they hanged the wicked kings of the nations that they conquered, right? They were child sacrificers, and so they hanged the kings, and it says just for a moment, because it says in the Torah, don't leave the bodies. So it's not just the Jewish person that's put to death; it's for anyone who's put to death. That person is the king's twin brother, right? Potentially. I don't believe they allowed Eichmann to be hanging for too long. They took him down right away.
But that's what you do. You make sure the person's dead, and you always do that.
So there is an interesting exception to this that's brought down in the Gemara that's going to be the Daf Yomi. Then it's going to be, you know what? I think I'm getting it the Sunday I get back from Israel. It's going to be my Daf. Ayin Test, 79. Daf Ayin Test in the Sechet Yevamos speaks about David allowing, and which we just got up to that in the Shmuel Betshir, allowing the seven descendants of Shaul to remain hanging on a tree for months. says from the grain harvest all the way to the fall when this rain started falling. That's months. Very difficult story. So that's a stark exception to this. And the Gemara will explain that. I'm going to get into that another time. All right, but here, the Sefer HaChinuch does an incredibly amazing thing. It takes the words Elohim or Elohim lo sekalel, and it derives two things. Don't curse the Dayan, and don't bless God, euphemistically, of course. Okay? Everyone clear? Because in Parshas Mishpatim, as the Sefer HaChinuch himself points out, Parshas Mishpatim, the word Elohim actually refers to God. That's how we know that you need three judges, because it says Elohim three times in the Parsha. Right? Adha Elohim Yavod Divar Shnehem. Asher Yarshiun Elohim, right? Okay, they go up to the Elohim, to the door, and they bore a hole through his ear. So we call this person Elohim, right? Ani Amarti Elohim Atem, Uvenei Ayel Yom Kulchem, Ochein Kechad Asurim Memusu, right? It's tomorrow's Shir Shal Yom, right? I considered you to be like Elohim, or Batachasrehu Ma'at Me Elohim. I made you so angelic, I made you just short of being like an angel. Okay, so the word Elohim can indeed refer to something besides God. Or let Elohim this parashat, Zoveach Le'Elohim Yocharom Bilti Lashem Levado. That Elohim is obviously not God. Right? It could just as well say, Zabeach Lelohim Achirim Yocharam. Right? Now, but there aren't any other gods. So why does, what do we, no, when it says, Lo Yelacha Elohim Achirim, it means you shall not have the gods of the others. Achirim does not define the gods. There are no gods. No such thing as other gods. They don't exist. They are the gods of others, though. The sun is a god. Some people consider the sun to be a god. It's not an actual god, though. So when it says, don't have Elohim Achirim, it doesn't mean I'm the only god that you should worship. Don't worship those other gods.
Right.
No. Don't worship the gods of the others, the other nations' gods. You get it? All right. Okay, this long, long introduction that I just gave you was especially for Parshas Mishpatim, which uses the word so often, but it was meant to be an introduction of understanding why the Sefer HaChinuch is willing to take these three words and do two different pshatim to it, because the Gemara does.
Is the punishment the same, whether it's the judge, Elohim, or Elohim?
No. No, because the Azhara is different. Each one has to have an Azhara.
Okay.
In fact, the Sefer HaChinuch uses this mitzvah as a springboard to explain this concept. The concept is known in Hebrew as Ein Onshin Ela Im Kein Mazhirin. In order to have a punishment in the Torah, the punishments are, from the severity of the death penalty administered by the courts,
right?
Lower form is kares misa bidei shamayim, and the lowest form is a iser lav, just the regular losasei. Right? There can be no punishments without, and what I would call what's a good example in Parshas Acharemos and Kedoshim is, get this, listen to the words, apodictic law and casuistic law. Apodictic law says you shall not kill. That kind of law does not appear in the ancient Near East. The ancient Near East law codes are written as casuistic law. If you kill someone, now let's make a bingo card. What level are you in society? Are you a one? Are you a four? Are you a two? Are you a three? Are you a five? Are you a seven? that if you're on a low level, you could be put to death for a minor crime against the one or a two. Right? And a one or a two at the very top of society can sin against sixes and sevens with impunity. Okay? As opposed to the Torah that says, Torah achas yelochem v'lager hagor b'sochefem. You have one Torah guiding all of you. It's a chiddush. We take it so for granted, but it's a big chiddush in the ancient world. Okay? So the Torah says, Ein onshin elim kein mashirin, is that we cannot put forth any of these penalties unless the Torah gave you a warning. You always have to find the warning. So the warning is the apodictic law. The punishment is the casuistic law. This is what's going to happen to you if you, right? We had this before, I believe, in Parshas Mishpatim. It came up a few times with certain mitzvahs.
Right.
An apodictic law would be put up a fence around your rooftop. Okay, that's how the Torah says it. It tells you the fact. Do this.
Right.
It doesn't express it like in Parshas Mishpatim. If you light a fire in your backyard, then the wind blows it to your neighbor, so this is what you have to do. Right, that's casuistic law. The apodictic law would be, but there is no such law, so I'm just going to say what it would sound like, but there is no such law, is do not light a fire in your backyard on a windy day. Right? It's just good advice. Right? But you are allowed to light a fire in your backyard on a windy day. Just you have to guard it, make sure it doesn't spread. Right? Casuistic law for the fence top would be the marker would be if someone walks across your roof and he slips and falls off the roof and there was no fence to stop his fall, you'll be held accountable. But that's not how it's written. The Torah wants to prescribe the behavior at the outset for that. Okay, clear? So it's called Ein Onshin Elim Kein Mashirin. I'm going to give you the casuistic punishment. I have to give you the apodictic warning. Okay? So let's see. I want to read a little bit of the Sefer HaChinuch on this. If you would join me, please. It says, Shalola Kalel HaDayan Lav De Birkas HaShem. Lav De Birkas HaShem. Well, he puts them together here, but then number 670, he'll list separately as a separate number two mitzvah. Okay. All right. Aleph. Shalom lekalel hadayanim shnemar Elohim lo sekalel. Peirusho ledayanim kimo asher yashirun Elohim. Okay. He's talking about not cursing the judge. Vahotziyon hakasuv b'lashon Elohim. So why say that? Why not just say Lo Tikalel Dayan? Why is it right Lo Tikalel Elohim? Kedei sheyehe nichlal im alav hazeh lav acher. Lav de berkas Hashem is barach. That's so that we could learn two mitzvahs from this pasuk.
Is Dayan a biblical term? Does it appear in the Torah?
Let less din bless dayan is obviously a Maimar Chazal.
Yeah.
It's a great question. I should know. I can look it up in a minute in a concordance, but My impression is that the answer is no. My first impression is that it's no, because the Torah does not have any words in it like harachamon. Well, in Nevi'im you have nashim rachmaniyot.
It would have said shofet.
What? It
would have said shofet. It wanted to use this.
Yeah, maybe. The Torah doesn't have words that end with nun to define like an occupation or a concept. Oh. It doesn't have a word like ka'ason or rahman or baishan. That's a later formulation in Mishnaic Hebrew. Oh. Rare use in Eicha, Nashim Rachmaniot, Harachaman. Anyway, so yeah, would you use Shofet, but it purposely uses Elohim, so that you can get out of this the Elohim, right? It's a rare formulation. We haven't seen this yet, where the Sefer Chinuch is willing to learn two mitzvahs from the same three words, two separate mitzvahs, okay. And to answer Howard's question, so that surely they must have the same punishment, not so fast. Okay, because these may be azharas for different laws. And it'll share the punishment with its law.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. The hulav, the bekas Hashem is barach, kimo shamru zichronu levracha b'mechot of the sifrei. There you go. Look at the fourth line. Azhar le bekas Hashem midichsev Elohim l'sekalel. How can anyone be put to death for the person at the end of Vayikra? How can he have been put to death? You know what story I'm talking about, right? At the end of Parshas Emor, right? So we put the person to death because he should have known from our pasuk, Azhar la birkas Hashem, midichsiv Elohim lo sekalel. Right? Umashe kasub makom acher, in that same Parshas Emor, but no cave, shem Hashem, most you must. Zehu ha'onish. Okay, that's the casuistic law. If you no cave, shem Hashem, most you must. Aval azhara himikan. So azhara is misa. Okay, it's treated that way. Lo yaspik lanu has karas ha'onish b'mitzvah mibli azhara. It's impossible to consider that the Torah would punish someone without an azhara. This is, by the way, how the Gemara derives in Sanhedrin that there is a mitzvah of Gilui Arayos for Ben Noach. Otherwise, why was God angry with Avimelech for taking Sarah? He's a Ben Noach. I can violate Arayos. Well, no, you can't. There's an expectation that you're supposed to keep Arayos. And I'm holding you to it. All right?
Their arayos as broad as ours, or more limited?
It's sometimes more broad. And there's some things the Gemara allows a Ben Noach allows a Jew to do them, that doesn't allow a Ben Noach. Right, but then it's strictly curtailed afterwards. So that no one should say that their laws are stricter than ours. But they're similar. Okay. All right. So you can't punish someone unless there's an expectation that they were warned. It's good parenting too, I guess. Avazhar rahimikan ki lo yaspik lanu as karas ha'onish b'mitzvah b'mibli azhara. There's no way that we can consider a punishment against a mitzvah without being warned. V'zeu shamru rabuseinu zal. Tamid zal tamid. Onesh shamanu. Azhara minayin. There you go. We haven't seen this yet. This is the Sefer Achinuch's discussion of the inyan. Inon shinelim kein mazhirin. Vainin hu mipnei she'im lo tavo lo nubedavar minias hakel elashi omaro sed devar ploni anash bekach v'yabamashme she'er reshus biyad kol rotze lekabel ha'onesh v'lo yachush letzaro la'avor al ha'mitzvah v'lo yavog bazek k'neged chifet Chefetz Hashem is Baruch Mitzvah. This is amazing. Remember, this book is written by a man to his six-year-old son.
Wow.
To teach him the mitzvahs. He's saying that the Torah says if you violate certain mitzvahs, you're going to have to take it on the chin. You're going to have to get a punishment. Right? Am I allowed to tell someone? Am I allowed to, I am willing to have the punishment. No, that's not the point. You're not allowed to tell someone here, punch me in the face, and I'll be mavater on the damages. No, we have to. The message is to avoid the any of the averis. Forget about. Okay, I'll take the punishment. I want to do the thing. I'll take the punishment. No. Okay, there's an azhara and there's a punishment. Okay, that's all. I don't think we need to discuss this any further. Take a look at the number 2 on page Shin Yud Aleph, where I wrote about the Rambam. Okay. He starts to discuss, and this is especially in the Gemara in the Sechah Shavuos, starts to discuss what does it mean to bless God? How is it violated? Because there's a strict punishment here. Right? Cursing a dayan doesn't get you killed. The blessing God does. So surely there must be parameters of what is considered a blessing of God. I hope everyone understands. I keep using that euphemistically, as it is used in the beginning of Sefer Iyov, where Iyov says, I have to bring korbanos to God, lest my children blessed him through their actions, when he really means cursed. And when Navot was killed because Ahav wanted his vineyard, right? His wife brought in false testimony that Nabot blessed God and the king. Okay, so he says, "V'nira d'gam." He said, "Let's start." Rambam Perikid Beis Mishvuos Halachidal of Kosta V'zel Hashana. V'lo Shvuos Bilvad El Afilu Lahaz Kir Shemin Hashemos Miuchadim Levatola Aser Sharei Akasuv Mitzvah. He says, don't take God's name in vain. Don't say mitzvah. Don't say brachas you shouldn't be saying. The Rambam very famously says that ha'oseh bracha she'ino tzricha over alo tiso Hashem Hashem Elokecha l'shav. Okay? God is not your chavrusa. Right? Remember, there's a story in Maseches Brachos where Abaye was talking to a student, and the student says, I don't remember if I said Yalav Yavo or not. So the student wants to know what's the halacha. So so Abaye said, what is God Yechavrusa? You should hit yourself over the head with a hammer. How could you talk to God and not remember what you just said? Okay. So I'm going to give you the punchline. In order to be, I can't imagine that, I guess the guy at Parshas Emor did this, otherwise they wouldn't have killed him, at least according to this opinion, but it's the halacha and the Rambam, is that you can't just say, I bless God. Right? It's counterintuitive. Isn't that what we're talking about? Right? The guy in Parshas Emor blessed God. He said, I, right? Use some form of word for curse, right? But it's counterintuitive. In order to be chayav for this, you have to call upon God's name. You have to try to harness the power of God's name and use that power to bless God. It's counterintuitive, but that's all I'm going to say about it. Okay? If he does not use that name of God in order to bless God himself, then he just says it's an iser lav. It's a lo sase. But it's not chayav misa. Okay? And he says, what about writing a curse? Writing out. What do you think?
No. You have to verbalize the b'chayv misa.
So in number 3 on page Shin Yud Bet, he writes, "V'nirali k'shem shemotzi b'piv levatola over ba'asei kach b'mocheik v'oseh mechika b'shem HaKodesh." So Joel is, of course, correct, is that the chayv misa is not for writing. But he is of the opinion, says nearly, which is like the Lashon of the Rambam when it's something that he hasn't seen before. He says, it seems to me that to write it out harnesses that asay that we're talking about. Asay, los asay. In other words, it's not punishable so seriously as the actual know, case we just mentioned, right? And everybody agrees, he says, that just thinking in your mind without writing, without articulating, is also just a low sesse. Correct. I mean, it's intuitive, is that in order to receive this terrible punishment that the guy in Parshas Emor received, right, you have to actually articulate it and say the words with you out loud. Okay. All right. Now, the fact, though, is that there is even another. Is it this week, last week's parsha? Didn't it say that you're not allowed to curse anybody? The Sefer Chinuch asks this question. It says in this past week's parsha, don't curse anybody. It uses the pachos mehem. It says, don't curse the cheresh. Lo tekalel cheresh. So Rashi says that that means everybody. Why does it say, have to say it as a cheresh? Because the cheresh is likely to not hear what you're saying, and you feel you're getting away with it. All right? So don't curse even the cheresh. Kal v'chomer and everybody else. I'm not so sure that every old Pashtunim will agree with this formulation, but that's how the halacha formulates it. Rashi mentions this. Okay? So that's why the Sefer HaChinuch says, V'over aleha v'kivel hadayan b'shem o'b'kinu lokesh shtei malkios. Someone curses a judge. Now, why would someone curse a judge? Because he came forth with a case I didn't like. He didn't do his homework. He's corrupt. He's taking bribes. Right? Now, I think what Howard said before is correct. If the judge is found to not be a judge, or he doesn't have a din of a judge, maybe you can remove yourself from being a judge. Right? Today we call that impeachment, but at that time he said, yeah, maybe it's a mitzvah to call to mind his villainy and his corruption. Okay. All right, but you get two malkios for cursing a judge, because one is anybody who's cursed, you get malchus. Okay. He's b'chala kol echad b'Yisrael.
I know you can't really say kamalei rabbi mei because they're the same punishment, but isn't that odd that you get punished twice?
Yeah, I would say it's sort of like a kohen gadol who marries an almana who's also a grusha. How many malchus does he get?
Okay, there I'd say two.
Right, because there that's called an Isser Mosif.
That's right.
Right, because the same woman, it's not two different women. Same woman. She was widowed from one man and then divorced from the second man. Right, so the first one made her usher to only to Kohen Gadol. Now that she became usher to other people, all Kohanim, so that makes her fact that Hosofa makes her.
That's a little different from this case because it's the same act that he's done. It's not like, you know, it's just because the person's also a Dayan.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I could compare it to, let's say, two brothers married to two sisters, right? And then one of the brothers dies, and if the surviving brother marries, does the yibum on the sister, he has to bring two chattasis. One of the opinions in the Gemara says, because one is because he married his sister-in-law, sister's wife.
Right.
But he also married his sister-in-law, his brother's wife.
Right. Being a chatzis or doing a mitzvah?
Well, he thought he's doing a mitzvah. That's the problem. That's why there's another opinion that says he only brings one chatzis for his wife's sister.
Right. Okay.
Because when there is two erevas in the act of Yibum, you're not allowed to do it. Yibum only is matir one erva, your brother's wife.
Okay.
The brother died without children. It's not only does it punch out the erva, it becomes a mitzvah.
Right.
The Mishnah in Maseches Bechoros, you find out at the end of learning this whole long, difficult Masechta, says mitzvahs chalitza kodemis. We prefer chalitza in case he didn't have the right kavana. So maybe he's not really performing the mitzvah properly, and he's just left with the avera. All right. So in our mitzvah, we have the iser mosif. You're not allowed to kill. You're not allowed to curse any Jew.
Right.
And then this guy became a dayan. So, but even before he became a dayan, I wasn't allowed to curse him. Right, but now you added a different kind of status,
right?
And, all right, so the next one is lav. It's called lav de birchas Hashem, and then shalola kalel hanasi. So the nasi is going to be a little different than I think we'll have to start with this the next time. However, next Monday night I will be Yemir Tzashem in Israel. So I'll be back in 2 weeks, and I look forward to seeing you then.